Hey, good morning. It's Jeannie Yandel. It's Monday. This is Seattle Now. Washington's had historic heat these past two summers. So the state's enacted some new protections for people who work outside in the summer in jobs like agriculture and construction. This work can be dangerous during extreme heat, but many workers are reluctant to report violations. KUOW's Eilish O'Neill will tell us why. But first, here's what's coming up this week.
And the Mariners knocking on the door to a playoff appearance for the first time since 2001. Here's the stretch. The 3-2 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Stay fair. Holy smokes, he did it. Off the Hidden Air Cafe. Cal Raleigh with a walk-off home run. How sweet it is. The Mariners end the 20-year drought.
The Seattle Mariners will have a postseason for the first time since 2001 after defeating the Oakland A's in the bottom of the ninth inning Friday night. Their last series of the regular season starts tonight against the Detroit Tigers. It's not clear yet whether the Mariners will have home games during the American League Wild Card Series. That depends on how the Mariners, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Tampa Bay Rays do in the final games of the regular season. Either way, the series is set to begin this Friday, October 7th. The Seattle Redistricting Commission has voted to amend a draft map it adopted last month as it continues to update the 7 city council district boundaries. The changes affect the districts and people in the Southeast Magnolia, Interbay, East Lake, and First Hill neighborhoods. The next public forum on the maps will be held this Saturday, October 8th, and the public comment period will be open until November 15th. That's when the commission will have to file its final district plan with the state. And if you're under 18, you can now ride Washington State ferries for free. The change went into effect this Saturday, and it applies to minors walking on or passengers in a vehicle. Drivers under 18 will still have to shell out for a ferry ride, though, as the rule does not apply to vehicle drivers. The policy is part of Move Ahead Washington, a nearly $17 billion transportation package, which became law earlier this year. Thanks to climate change, summers in the Pacific Northwest are just getting hotter. And it's led to dangerous and even deadly heat, particularly for people who spend the day working outside, planting and harvesting the food we eat.
Last summer, 2021, a farm worker in Washington and a farm worker in Oregon died of heat-related causes.
For the last two summers, Washington State has put emergency heat protections in place for farm workers and other people who work outdoors. But having protections in place is one thing. Implementing them, that's another. KUOW's Eilish O'Neill looked into who's responsible for enforcing these rules to protect workers and whether enforcement is happening. Eilish, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Eilish, when you were reporting the story, you talked with a lot of farm workers. What spurred you to start looking into their conditions and whether the state is enforcing these new rules in the first place?
I was interested in the heat rules because heat, as you mentioned, it's getting worse with climate change, and it can be really dangerous if you work outside. So this year, Washington State has the strictest heat rules it's ever had that kick in at 89 degrees Fahrenheit. And so I just wanted to know, how's that going? Do workers feel safer with the new rules, and are employers following them?
Well, I want to learn more about that. First and foremost, when you talk to these farm workers, what did they say about whether their employers were actually implementing the rules?
They said most employers are. For example, one of the new rules is a requirement that workers be provided with shade during their rest breaks. And so I went out on one farm, for example, where the farmer had bought these tents to place next to the field so workers could really cool down during their rest breaks. And there is, of course, always, I hesitate to put a number on it because who knows, but there is always that small percentage of employers who aren't necessarily following the rules, and then really dangerous situations can arise.
Well, let's talk about what happens when employers don't implement these rules and they get caught. Labor and Industries is the agency responsible for enforcing these heat rules. So when companies, as you mentioned, don't implement these heat rules, what kind of trouble can they get into?
Well, it depends on how grievous the problem is. If it's something kind of like that's more of a paperwork issue, like they don't have a heat plan on file, that will be noted in the inspection report, but it won't necessarily come with a fine. But if it's something that could create an immediate health hazard, like not providing your workers with water, then there would be a fine associated with that.
Are we talking about a particularly high fine or more of a slap on the wrist kind of fine?
So I filed a public records request for all of the complaints and fines from 2021, when the heat rules were slightly less strict, and 2022 up till the date that I filed the public records request. Over that time, L&I only issued one fine to one employer for a heat-related violation, and it was $3,500.
Eilish, something else you found in your reporting is that workers in Oregon actually file a lot more complaints with L&I, Labor and Industries, than workers in Washington State do. Why is that happening?
Workers in Washington State told me that they do not trust L&I to take action if they file a complaint.
Reduce fines or don't fine at all, or there's no real big punishment. So workers are like, well, that didn't work. So
in Oregon, Oregon's agency that's responsible for overseeing worker safety and health received about 10 times as many complaints per year for heat-related violations as Washington, and also issued many more fines to employers on the order of dozens, whereas Washington State only issued one fine. L&I's response to this is that fines are the end goal and compliance and worker safety are the end goal. So why compare fines? You should be comparing worker safety outcomes.
You did look at specific complaints that have been filed in Washington State regarding these heat rules. What stories have you heard that stuck out to you?
Well, one complaint in particular stuck out to me where someone wrote in with a really specific complaint. They were like, we're not getting rest breaks. We're not getting water. There's no shade. The workers are taking any breaks they have in their cars where it's hotter than it is outside, and people are getting really sick with the heat. And L&I went and investigated, and they found no violation, and they sent kind of the form letter that they send to people with no violation that says something like, thank you for your attention to worker safety and health. We found no health and safety problems on your farm. And obviously the day the L&I enforcement person went out, they didn't find any violations of safety rules, but I understand being in the position of whoever it was who was anonymous who filed that complaint and thinking like, there are these crazy dangerous things happening here and L&I found nothing. What's the point of telling them about these things that are occurring?
I mean, I really hear that. I also hear the argument L&I is making, which is let's look at worker safety outcomes, not how many times we fine companies. So what does Labor and Industry say about actually building trust with workers, about making it so that workers will come to them when they have safety issues?
They say they're really working on it. They are building up their bilingual workforce to do outreach directly to farm workers. They have an agriculture focus program. The heat rules apply to all outdoor workers. So you could be an admin person at a university working an outdoor graduation and you still need adequate rest breaks, shade and water. But the big kind of groups of workers who almost always work outside and often in the heat are construction workers and farm workers. And so L&I is working on having a bilingual team that can do outreach directly to farm workers and tell them things like, if you make a complaint, it is automatically anonymous. The employer cannot find out who that person is. And also the press cannot find out who that person is. If I file a public records request, the worker's name does not come back to me. They're trying to tell workers that if they file a complaint, L&I will go out, will inspect, and it will be an unannounced inspection. And so they're trying to build trust by just telling workers more about how they work and make sure that it's known that they're available to receive complaints.
Well, what are workers and advocates saying about what they want L&I to do better?
they say they want kind of stricter enforcement, so more fines, and also more random enforcement. So more going out to farms where there hasn't been a specific complaint and then just double checking that that farm is doing everything correctly when it comes to worker safety and health.
So currently LNI basically just shows up when a complaint has been filed. They're not sort of dropping in randomly to see what's going on.
They have some random enforcement. It's a question of degrees. Like the worker safety advocates want more random enforcement.
Well, we've talked about labor and industry's relationship with workers, that it seems like it needs a little work. But what does the relationship between LNI and employers look like?
That's interesting because it's changed over the years. So a farmer I spoke to told me that he's a sixth generation hops grower in the Yakima Valley. And he said that when his grandfather was running things, LNI was a dirty word around there.
Because, you know, very independent growers, right? But the way I see it is I've befriended a lot of those guys. I've brought them in for consultations because I don't know everything. And if I can do something, even just a little bit, to make it a better place to work, then I'd rather do that.
LNI has a program where employers can call and ask someone from the agency to come out and just double check that the farm is doing everything correctly by the books for worker safety and health. And they're not going to get fined or get a citation action based on this kind of voluntary program where they're like, can you just double check that everything's okay? And they'll come out and be like, well, you don't have that ladder secured correctly. And with that program and just kind of general employer outreach, LNI has really improved its relationship with employers. And they say in the service of worker safety and health, because you want employers to be on board with making sure everything is safe in the place of work.
That's interesting. I wonder, when we first started talking, Eilish, I mentioned that these heat protections have been put in place in large part because our summers are hotter and hotter, which probably isn't going to change anytime soon, thanks to climate change. So now that we're past sort of the hottest season of the year, what's going to happen next summer with these rules?
These were emergency heat protections that were just in place this summer, ending on September 30th. And there were emergency heat protections last summer that were slightly less strict. And what LNI is trying to do is get permanent rules in place that will probably look something like what this summer's rules were.
Well, we'll be following where this goes next summer. Eilish O'Neill is a reporter with KUOW. Eilish, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Vaughn Jones produced today's show. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. The extra voices in today's episode were Edgar Franks and Tyler Carpenter. Seattle Now and KUOW are proud members of the NPR Network, an independent coalition of public media podcasters together connecting millions of Americans every day to explore news, ideas, and what it means to be human. You can find our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jeannie Yandel. Trish is back tomorrow.